Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast. Today I have my really good friend Tamana Roshan. You guys may know her as Dress Your Face on social media. We have been friends probably since the beginning of social media days, when Instagram launched. Her and I became really good social media friends, and she was living out in the Bay Area at the time. And one day she messaged me saying, "Hey, I'm in LA and I'd like to come visit you." And I was so excited because she was like the first quote unquote influencer. We probably had only a couple thousand followers at the time wanting to meet me. And so she came by my studio, we took pictures. And since then, she's been supportive. And since then, we've been really good friends. So everyone, welcome to Tamana.
Hi guys. Thank you, Lilith.
Of course. And Tamana is one of those women that inspire me a lot because she is always doing, and then doing some more. But you're always reinventing yourself, and you don't spin on the wheel. You know, you constantly find different directions and pathways to, whether it's your career, or you've done so many different types of things. We were just talking about this, whether it's beauty or clothing or hair. You have a family of four now. So I kind of want people to get to know your background a little bit. Like, were you born here? Did you always want to know you wanted to do beauty? Like, I have questions for you that I'm just like,
oh my God, I can't believe we've never talked about
it. I know, we've never talked about it. People always tell me, you're like, "Hey, did you love makeup when you were like five?" I was like, "Not really." You know, just so I wonder, you know, because and you're also, you have a Indian and Afghan background, and you know how that played a role. So I want our followers to get to know you, and I think that's really important in understanding your path and where how it all started. So how to dress your face. Okay, before Dress Your Face, let's talk about Tamana a little bit.
Okay, so I was born here. I was actually born in LA. My parents, they got married here. They met overseas, of course. My dad's from Afghanistan, mom's from India, so I had this like very split family, I guess, two very different upbringings, but they meshed well together. They made it work. I'm the only child, so I didn't really have anyone to like talk about things with or like do things with, so I was very independent and just kind of went my own way, and my parents kind of allowed me to just do my thing. You know, I grew up with two different religions, and so, and they are very like hippie. I always say my parents are hippies. Like,
I was just gonna ask you, were they really strict on you because of the religion and the ethnic background?
My dad is Muslim, and typically when your father's Muslim, you just automatically become Muslim. That's what you're raised at. But because he married a Hindu woman and did not ask her to convert, they both just understood that one day I will choose when I'm old enough, and in the meantime, I will be brought up as both. So for me, I was kind of a hippie too. I just like, when I'm around Afghans, I'm Afghan. When I'm around Indians, I'm Indian. And I just kind of flowed with it.
That's very impressive. Your parents came from a very liberal mindset at such a
backwards time.
Yeah,
right?
Like at a time where nobody really thought that way, especially from such a religious background.
Exactly. And they're both like, their families did practice the religion. It's not like they weren't religious. I think that they were lucky too, because their own parents were very forward thinkers, you know, and they just kind of allowed them to fall in love and have a real relationship and flourish. So that's kind of how I was brought up, basically, just to follow my heart and do what I wanted and not to like stop me from doing a specific thing just because it's not conventional, right? Mm-hmm. So when I landed into beauty, I really, honestly, I was the one that thought that I wasn't gonna make this a career, that this would just be a hobby. Mm-hmm. But my family actually sat me down and was like, "Look, you should go to beauty school, get the certifications you need. Why don't you take some time off of college and then go back to college after a while?"
My parents were the opposite, so this is very impressive for me.
No way.
Yeah.
So you were in like,
I come from a corporate background. I was in school. My mom said, "You want to do makeup? Sure, but you don't drop school. You finish school, and when your school's over, you can give me your degree. Then you can do this on the side, and if it becomes a career, great." It was like the complete opposite.
That's like
opposite.
The normal way of doing
So I'm very impressed that your parents came from like a very like
totally
different. I guess I get it now from your upbringing.
Yeah. We were just very like go with the flow people. Mm-hmm. So they saw something that I liked, and they were like, "Let's just encourage her to actually make this her passion." And at the time, my parents were also following their passions. They were both in their own jobs too, but then they decided to start a videography business for weddings, and that was their passion. They started doing it, and that's when I kind of fell into it, because I started doing the bride's makeup and hair and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, after I was helping them with the actual videography and editing and all those things. So brides. So
you were editing like real time videos back then.
Oh yeah, yeah. VHS.
Before phones. Yeah.
Yes. The high
true pro. Uh-huh.
Oh my God, it was insane. But yeah, that was how it all kind of started. I did go back to school to finish it up. I went into marketing just so that it can kind of help me with whatever I would decide to do forever. But makeup took off.
How old were you when you started doing makeup?
I was still in high school when I was like just doing it on brides on the side. And then once I was a year into college, that's when my family told me to take some time off to go to beauty school and get that done.
Good so, for them.
Yeah, it was.
They believed in you.
2002. Mm-hmm. They did. And it worked out. And then sometimes, you know, I'd be like, you know, it would have been so much easier to just be a doctor. Like all those other Indian girls, be a doctor, a lawyer, engineer, you know, at least there's a straight path and you know what you're doing right. This way.
Entrepreneurship is hard.
It is hard. Yeah. It is so hard, but it is so, I feel like it's really rewarding too, absolutely. You know, but yeah, it's like a 24-hour
yeah.
job.
Yeah, it really is, because you don't really have a set schedule, so you really are working.
You're hustling.
All
you're
day, every yeah. day, even
and
at
creatives
night.
Like us, like we can't stop thinking about mm-hmm. the next thing, mm-hmm. so like I'm constantly, my feet are in everything, like you were saying, like hair, makeup, fashion, family, you know, all sorts of things. I would get bored if I was only doing one thing, I think, and mm-hmm. that's like that serial entrepreneurship that we have, like it's just... We always want to move on to the next thing.
So people always ask me this question.
Yeah.
It's the quote unquote, how do you balance it all? So you tell me.
Oh my God. Girl, I'm like the worst at balancing it all. I feel like, you know,
do you ever feel that? Like you sometimes, for me, I feel like sometimes I'm like all about work and then sometimes I'm all about family. And I, that's where my balance is. Sometimes I'm all or nothing.
All.
Depends on the day. And
I feel the same way oftentimes. You know, it's hard to dedicate so much of yourself in one day because there's mm-hmm. only 24 hours in a day, right? So sometimes you do have to dedicate that whole day to work mm-hmm. or that whole day to just being with family or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that kind of works better for me instead of saying, okay, from this time, I'm going to focus on work. And from this time, mm-hmm. I'll be with family. I also go with the flow. If my family is, if you know, you're doing something that needs my attention, I'm not going to work that day. And I'm mm-hmm. not going to be focusing on my phone or, you know, mm-hmm. doing those kind of things. But, you know, the cool thing about it, though, also is that we can work from our phone and we can pop in and out as we need to.
Right.
So, like, while my kids are napping, that's usually when I'm editing. Mm-hmm. Or late nights when everyone's asleep.
Is like that's what really I do. I love that. Editing. My husband's like, you're on your phone. Like sleep. I'm like, no, now is my time. I get to work.
Time.
It's quiet time.
Yes. And you can
oh my
think
God,
about,
I totally feel you.
You know, your thoughts and focus and get creative without anyone screaming for you.
Right, right. And your husband helps you a lot too, right?
Oh my gosh,
with
yes.
family and
yes.
you know, being able to balance because he's so supportive.
He is the biggest support. He is our rock. So he not only helps me make all the business decisions in the back end, and he's really great with like decision making in general. He's very logical, where I'm more of the passionate,
more
like,
emotional.
Go with it. Yes, yes. Like, no, I need to do this. And he's like, okay, this does not make sense. We need to do this way. So he's kind of like my brain. And he's also such a great hands-on dad. Like, there's no way I could have a family and work if it wasn't for someone like him that could actually hold down the fort. Like, he literally does everything. Like, everything. If he wasn't there, my house would literally fall apart.
Wow, that's amazing. I hope you're listening to this, yeah. Michelle. My husband's like, you never talk about me. And I'm like, well, who am I supposed to talk about you with or where? Like, I'm like, I give you credit, you know, I'll tell you thank you when you're doing something. Oh, like, oh my God, like he'll hate me for saying this out loud, but like washing the dishes or you help give the kids a bath. And people are like, don't say that stuff online. And I'm like, okay,
so
well,
how
you
am I
supposed to appreciate? So that's awesome. That's really cool because that makes a really big difference,
it does,
you know,
and
their understanding of, you know, I'm Armenian and we also come from a place where back in the days, you know, the men worked and the women were home raising kids.
Yeah.
And now there is an expectation that we work and raise kids as well,
you know,
and we're not supposed to lack in any area. But I think that as long as you have a supportive,
it's a partnership.
Partnership. Yeah.
You know, it's you both make the kids, you both raise the kids, mm-hmm. you know, and it also takes a village. It's good to have people that can support you and help you, and people you can count on when things do get a little crazy, or when maybe you and your husband just want a day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing we don't have.
Yeah.
We don't have our date nights. We don't have anyone like really to help in that front, but you know, sooner or later,
it's a matter of time.
It's COVID right now. I know. Still, you know, we're kind of,
you don't feel like you're lacking.
Yeah.
So for those that don't really know your background or what you're doing, you started as a makeup artist, and then you started teaching classes, and then you started your online classes. So take us through that journey and why you decided to take each step, because there's a lot of customers that would meet at the time, then they would ask me like, hey, how did you decide you want to do makeup? Or at what point did you decide you want to like stop your corporate job and go into this full time? Like, you know, people didn't want to leave stability. And, you know, so tell us your background and how you started this career and what made you take the path that you did. Yeah.
I feel like there's always this like big turning point that makes you take that jump, especially when something's so risky, right? Like you have this amazing job that has great benefits, you have insurance, you know, you have this like stability, like you said, in your regular job, and to leave everything behind and just follow your dreams is a scary thing. And I think once you are at that point, and you have to have that like, I guess, confidence and drive, then you can do that. For me, it was, I kind of naturally fell into the beauty world through my parents with the whole wedding business. I started doing brides. Word of mouth got me very, very popular in where, you know, I was living. I kind of dominated that field. I felt like I did everything I could in that place. And naturally, you know, a lot of up and coming artists really wanted to learn from me. And because of that kind of demand, I never thought that I would teach. But because the demand was there, I started teaching, and I realized, oh my God, like, I can really explain things, and I can really teach. I'm loving this. I'm doing a good job, I think. And I, you know, I'm seeing that my students are actually progressing right in front of my eyes. Like things are clicking. So I realized, oh my gosh, this is my calling. I'm a teacher. So I focused on teaching. All of a sudden, you know, of course, social media happened. I started posting my students' work and my work and some of my behind the scenes of teaching. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting requests from all over the world.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm listening to myself right now. Oh my gosh.
It's
people.
People's demand, and you finally listen.
You took
to
the
it.
Opportunity when you saw it. That's what it is. You weren't trying to like twiddle your thumbs. What should I do next? There was an opportunity. There was knocking on your door,
it.
And you took the
where your path is just going.
I love
and
that.
You just go for it because you know that this is what people want, and this is what makes you
the
happy.
Demand's already there.
Exactly. It's not like I'm going into something and then having to establish myself.
Right.
Things were already happening. So it worked out for me timeline wise. I was unhappy in the job I was in. I was working in cosmetics as a cosmetic manager.
At a department store?
I was with Lancome for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And as their business manager, things were great. And then the economy just crashed. And I was no longer happy because my managers were just treating me like trash. Not even like, you have to understand, when the economy is different, we need to be creative and you know, do something else, but you can't like hold me to last year's numbers, and you can't, you know, do all these. It's not going to happen. We can have fun and get creative.
Unrealistic and expectations.
And focus on some long-term loyalty. It's not about like number right now. They didn't understand that. We just clashed a lot, and I was coming home in tears because of some of the conversations I would have. And my husband just looked at me and he's like, "You're so booked.
Yeah.
Can you just leave Macy's? Just be done with it."
Oh, wow. So
and
he's the one that encouraged you.
And I was like, "No, the economy's shitty. Like, what am I going to do? We're not going to have insurance anymore." And he's like, "Just buy insurance, whatever. Like, what do other people do?"
Yeah.
"Buy insurance. Yeah. You don't need it through work." And I'm like,
"Hmm." Yeah. You're like, "Maybe."
Oh, yeah. I guess you can do that. So I talked to my parents, and of course they were very scared. They were like, "Look, you've been with Macy's for 8 years. You've been with Lancome the whole time. You're climbing up that ladder. You're like one step away from landing your dream position within Lancome. Like, you really want to leave now?" And I was like, "I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy. And I have this other huge opportunity where I have this demand. Not only, I'm a cosmetologist too. So not only did I have the demand of traveling and teaching, but I had the demand of coloring and cutting hair from my home at the time. And, you know, keeping
so
myself busy
during the week."
So you got your
cosmetology license along this time.
Yeah. I had my cosmetology license as soon as basically I was done with high school. Like after that first year of college, I went to cosmetology school. And so at this point I was kind of ready. So I made the jump. I left my job, and it was the best thing that could have ever happened. Honestly, it opened so many more doors. Social media catapulted, and I was able to, you know, share my passion with so many other people. You know, teaching became a full-time thing. I was teaching throughout the week. I actually had to slow down on my cuts and colors because teaching took over. And then I met someone who thought that, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to create an online platform. I'm looking for a teacher, and I was looking for someone to develop the platform for me. So we just kind of got together, created dressyourfacelive.com, and it just became this huge, huge thing. And that's what just took me over the edge. This is 7 years now.
7 years.
Almost 7 years now. This year,
but
7.
With teaching, you were also traveling the world teaching.
Yeah,
you weren't just teaching at your studio. You were like traveling the
that
world.
That was fun.
And booking out banquet halls.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole masterclass
thing. It seemed
thing,
that there was hundreds of people
there
in
were,
there.
Yeah, yeah. We would have like 300 to 400 people per
my
class.
My goodness.
And
that gives me goosebumps. That's crazy.
I miss it
Tom.
So much. I definitely want to get back to that. But, you know, the thing is I'm a very extra girl. And mm-hmm. so with my master classes, I didn't want it to feel like a workshop. I wanted it to feel like a full-on event.
Mm-hmm.
So I would book banquet halls. I would have desserts. I would have people dress up. Like, it was basically like having all the ladies come in and have a day to themselves. You could be a mama, you could be just going through something or whatever it is. You just need some me time, or you want to elevate your skill, and they would come to the masterclass and have the time of their lives. They wouldn't even come with friends. Like, people would buy tickets mm-hmm. and it would sell out really quick that a lot of people couldn't really come with friends or groups.
Mm-hmm.
They would meet each other there
oh
and become
goodness.
Friends.
That's
and
awesome.
Some of the people that have come to my masterclass are still friends to this day, and they still like remember their time at the masterclass meeting each other for the first time, and
wow.
they're still friends, and they've both grown on social media, for example. Like, I hear these stories all the time, and it's so, so fulfilling.
You're like the Tony Robbins of the beauty industry. Booking
it's
out
so
banquet
funny,
halls
right?
and, you know, helping your audience
pre-COVID,
network together.
Of course,
network
I would not
together.
Imagine now doing 400 people in one
right.
room. I'd be like, oh,
do you
my
mind
God,
me asking
scary.
How much the average ticket cost was to one of your classes?
500 to 1,000, depending on where it was. So, of course, in the beginning, it wasn't that expensive. The, mm-hmm. My very, very first masterclass was $100. Smaller class, it was like 200 people. And then it
oh,
quickly
grew. Okay.
You know.
My master classes were 14 people, but okay.
But like, you know.
I love it.
It was, you know, good times. But yeah, it quickly grew to like 300, 400
so
people.
So you became very successful based on something that you decided you can do. You're teaching these classes in your studio or home or wherever
one
you were teaching
ones,
at the time, you're
yeah.
like, okay, I could do a bigger class.
Yeah.
I could travel. I could do this.
I
so
mean, the
what?
Demand
what
was
made
there.
You feel like, okay, let me rent
Let's
this banquet
this.
Hall. I can book up 400 people in here.
So here's the thing. Like with me, and I love that we were talking about this earlier. We want to do things our way, not the cookie cutter way, not what everyone else is doing. Like with you with products, you're not going to create a product just because everyone else is creating it and it's selling like crazy. You're creating something because you're putting your thought and your whole heart and soul into it.
Mm-hmm.
With me, with a masterclass, I didn't want to do like the training courses that I would attend with Lancome or like with other companies. I wanted to do something so memorable and so different because I know that, okay, first of all, my Instagram audience, for example, half of them are MUAs or wanting to be in that world, and half of them are just the average woman that loves makeup
yeah.
or maybe doesn't love makeup yet but is wanting to get there, wanting to learn a little bit more of having, you know, putting yourself together real quick, you know, for a meeting
mm-hmm.
or for work or whatever it is, or maybe it's a confidence thing, or maybe they're following me just because they
you
connect
them.
With me,
yeah.
you know, they connect with me on a different level. Maybe it's my family. So these events, I didn't want it to just be about the education. I wanted it to be about the whole experience. I bring my family. I bring my kids. Like
I saw
they all
trouble.
Meet all of us. Like my parents have come to events that are local and they got to meet my parents and take pictures with them. Like it's not just about one thing. It's just like this. It encompasses
you delivered
everything.
An experience.
It's an entire experience, and I'm listening to why these people are following me in the first place. It's not just about the makeup. It's about so much more.
It seems to me you have always and still continue to have a very, very strong, loyal following.
Yes.
Is that, do you know that? Or,
I love
yeah.
my girls. I love my followers because a lot of them have been with me from day one, since
mm-hmm.
you and I started,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm sure a lot, and your followers were like that too. They supported, they were dying over Elsie. I remember I came to your store and your freaking mascara was sold out. And I swear to you, that 1 hour, 2 hours I was in your store, at least a dozen people came in looking for that
mascara.
For the mascara. And, like, they're loyal. They will never try any other mascara. Yeah. They will literally wait for that mascara to come back in stock. Mm-hmm. They will be bare lashed.
I'm so grateful for our fans.
And it's
and
not
customers.
Just because you have an incredible brand, it's because of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because
they're very supportive. They want to support. Absolutely.
And that's what I feel too. Like, my girls, like, we have an actual relationship. It's not like I'm just this, like, hyped up person that just wants to come out with stuff and, like, here, let me take your money and run. It's a full-on relationship. And it
that you put a lot of your energy into. Yeah. I think people who are not or have not been influencers or don't have a friend who's an influencer don't really know that the work that's involved behind creating content. It could be something as simple as your daily life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's us living our daily life and then involving our audience continuously throughout the day and then making sure that we set aside some educational moments for them, some products.
You're providing
some,
real
you know,
value.
You are just, you, we provide a lot of our time and then the emails and, you know, there's a lot that's involved in it. So I think that they're like, oh, that's great. She taught classes, but just that process is a lot.
Booking the hall. I mean, you know, going back to your original question, what made me do it that way? Like I said, I started in the wedding industry. That's how it all happened. And so I always kind of thought, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make it like that. And so, yeah, the work that goes behind, like, I
love that. It's like full circle. Your parents would work.
Not holding weddings, basically.
You know, yeah. Like, you're holding freaking halls that are for weddings.
And it was fun because, like, going state to state or country to country and, like, meeting people, like, we would plan it ourselves. We would not have a planner, like, go with us on tour. It was more so just us contacting local vendors of that specific area that we were in, and then I would have a party planner just for that specific event, just making sure that everyone's on time, because obviously I'm on stage, I can't, like, coordinate. So my husband would be the main coordinator and we'd have someone locally coordinate and help out that day. But doing, basically, it was like planning a wedding ourselves every single time.
Oh my god.
For a year, you know. And it was fun though. Like, I can't wait for this whole, like, COVID thing to be done so I can get back
start
to
again.
It.
Yeah, yeah, you're gonna,
I miss
okay,
it.
I'm excited you're gonna do this.
I do want to, yeah.
Well, what did I want to ask you? So correct me if I'm wrong, you were one of the first collaborations in the beauty industry when social media started. Is that right?
Yes.
So you collaborated with Anastasia of Beverly Hills, which is a huge brand. And how did that happen?
Oh my god. So, power of social media. I actually did not even know that Anastasia wasn't, like, an actual person on social media. Like, I knew her brand. It was the first expensive eyebrow pencil I ever purchased outside of, like, Lancome that I was working for. I saw them in, like, Allure or something, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy this brow wiz. So I went to Sephora, bought it, posted about it, and I started basically just tagging or, like, hashtagging or at least, like, mentioning
whatever it was back
then.
Yeah,
for every look I did for all my brides and everything, and it was always ABH brow wiz. Like, that was just my go-to. And eventually Norvina messaged me.
Norvina,
like,
is Anastasia's daughter.
Claudia Norvina. And so she messaged me saying, my mom's a huge fan. We've been noticing that you've been posting consistently about ABH. We really want to take care of you. Like, please send us your address and we'll add you to our PR. And I was like, oh my God, fangirling like crazy. I'm like, this person's real. Like, her page, the page that I've been tagging, is actually her. It's not like a rep. Like, it's her. So we just, you know,
crazy enough, she's still very much involved.
Yes. And that was just like the first taste of, oh my gosh, brands can notice me now, aside from the brand that I'd been working with forever. And I can actually make some connections and network. And so once I started, you know, kind of having this back and forth with Norvina and Anastasia, it just became, we started building on a relationship. And what was interesting is the first PR box I got from them was this huge box of like 10 per SKU that they had. And I was like, wait a second, I think they think that I'm a salon. So I was like, oh crap, I need to call them. So I called Anastasia's salon that she happened to be working at that day. And I asked them, I'm like, is Anastasia there? Because I'm an influencer that she just sent a package to, and I'm worried that she thinks that I'm a salon because I'm not going to use, I mean, I don't know what to do.
Too much product here.
10 of everything. And they were like, hang on. So I get on the phone with Anastasia, and I was like so nervous to talk to her on the phone. It's the first time I'm talking to her on the phone. I couldn't even believe she picked up. And I was like, I just want to let you know, like, I'm so thankful for, like, this huge package. I don't even know what to say, but I'm not a salon. She goes, I know. And I'm like, okay. She goes, you're a working artist. You're going to go through that, and you're not going to buy Anastasia. I'm going to support you. And I'm like, oh my God, I would have just bought. I will always buy.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I got you. And since then, it just became like this huge thing. She was like my fairy godmother. And then soon enough, she had that innovative idea to start collaborating with influencers on Instagram. And I was one of the first three. So 1 year, I believe it was like 2013 or 14, she picked three of us. It was me,
Maya Mia,
and Amrezi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the three of us basically were the first ones to collab. We each got to make our own palette with her, and mine was the winter launch.
It was one of my favorite palettes.
I was so happy. It's still like, I still have a few of them that I will never touch because I'm just like, oh my God, this is memories. My first ever collab. And it was called the Tamana palette. All of the palettes were named after us. And so, yeah, that's kind of what put me on the map with, you know, the product world. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from that process too, like looking at different swatches, trying to figure out like the textures that I like. And it wasn't just about the shade. It was so much more to it.
Did it give you a lot of creative freedom to create the palette that you want?
100%. So not just about the formulations and the colors, but also the design of the package and the box and like the insides. We created cards to teach others how to do certain looks using the colors of the palette. And so I got to,
I know you had a very iconic blue in there.
Yeah. I love that one. Yeah. It was good. It was a good experience overall, and I learned a lot from that. And so from there on, I was open to collaborating with very specific brands. Of course, the only brands I've ever done any type of collaboration with have been brands that I've personally been fans of.
This is why you have such a loyal following, because people trust you.
Yeah.
If you say something is good, you believe that it's
exactly
good in order to talk about it. Because, you know, let's be real, in 2020 or 2021, there's so much, right? We're constantly sent offers from different brands to work with and promote and this and that. And, you know, you can be the artist that gets paid and works with everyone, or you can be the artist who goes picks and chooses who you find valuable.
And that's the thing. Like, I think we
keep your reputation in that sense.
Uh-huh. And we all hold different things valuable. Like some people, like you were mentioning, you know, this is where they're getting their paychecks regularly. And so they'll work with more people, and maybe their approval process is a little bit different than what ours would look like. With me, because I do, you know, thankfully have an established business, and, you know, working with brands and doing collaborations is more of a passion thing for me. Obviously it has to make fiscal sense too. Mm-hmm. It has to be worth it in the long run with all that, you know, creativity and the time that I put into it. I usually spend at least a year working on something before I come out with it with a collaboration. But for me, it's more so finding a brand that fits my values and that aligns with what I want to do. And I've never really collaborated with a brand that I've just kind of met, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always been brands that I have been long-term user of, and it just was a natural fit for us. After that, it was Bombay Hair. I had been using Bombay Hair extensions for a really long time. I was a huge, huge fan. And when they approached me for, you know, creating a collaborative collection, I jumped at the opportunity, even though another huge hair extension brand was already offering me double the amount up front. I still said no because, and Kushal, my husband, the one that's more logical.
The men would be like, what are you
like,
doing?
Why are you doing this? And I said, it's not about that. Like, okay, I can see all this money up front, great. But in the long term, I want to be with a brand that's going to be something that I totally believe in, that I'm passionate about, a higher quality, something that I can use long term. You know, it's great to like find something that can make you quick money, but if you're in it forever and I'm never leaving, I need to be able to stand up with that brand and stand behind that brand 100%. And if I don't stand behind that brand's not for me. They can have some other influencer. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was always Bombay Hair. And so I created this, you know, hair extension line. We went into a Hot Tools line. Like, it just became this huge thing. And now, so many years later, I want to say it's probably been as long as I've been on DYFL, about mm-hmm. 7 years, 6 years, that I've had this thriving collection with Bombay Hair. They're best sellers. People swear by my hair straightener. Like, it's just all the stuff that now we're expanding even more. Last year, even during COVID.
What a great decision you made.
It was, right? Like, yeah. It's like you follow your heart. We have women's intuition and we also have integrity behind, you know, what we want to stand for. And so I knew that going this route would mean, even if it meant less money up front, mm-hmm. it would mean a more long-term partnership and mm-hmm. something that became a cult favorite. So that's kind of what I, you know, have been going for. With fashion, same thing. A brand from Lashkara is the name, Indian clothing brand that I had been using for years. I mean, since the beginning of social media, when I discovered them, they had been sending me gifts and clothes and we kind of saw each other grow a little bit. They became this huge powerhouse and we now collaborate on seasonal collections. And now that I have
family, cute you're doing with your daughter.
Now I have my son and he had his own, you know, collection with them. And it just became this amazing thing that now when people think of Lashkara, they think of me and they think of our collections together. And it's just this incredible, like, natural partnership.
So you've done online classes that were very successful. You continue to do them. It's been 7 years, right? Seven years. You travel the world teaching classes. You took bridal and bridal parties and travel the world to do bridal makeup. Yes. You were hottest demand for, you know, I'm sure you were booked out a year in advance from what I remember. You've done your collaborations. You've done a lot. Do you feel like you want to do more? Are you comfortable with where you're at? Or is there a direction? Can you give us some, like, idea of where you want to go from here?
I don't
here?
Think there's ever a comfortable with people like us.
Yeah.
I think creatives and creators will forever want to create. I will be 90 years old and I will still want to come out with something.
Hair extension line.
I'd be like, hey, new color. Yeah. I cannot stop creating. And like I said, for me, it's not the money that drives me. It's the passion behind it. It's the purpose behind it. It's, you know, creating a community and just being happy and being proud of what we're creating and what we're doing. And so I don't ever see it ending. I don't ever see myself comfortable where I'm at. I am actually currently working on so many new things, even with my online classes. Something major is about to change with it, and we are evolving. You know, the natural evolution of things.
Evolving.
We are evolving.
Yeah.
And so I'm very excited for that next chapter. I'm a little scared, a little nervous, because I'm about to do a lot of the stuff just on my own, but I'm ready for it, you know? And I think that this was God's way of saying, hey, Tam, time for you to move on and do something bigger and better. And so we are...
Keep climbing.
We are climbing. We are changing things up and shaking up the industry again. I am working on my own brand as well. That's something that I've been talking about for a really, really long time. It's been in the works for at least, 5 years that I've been talking to you about it.
I know.
And then I stopped after I had Alia. I needed to focus on my family and the collaborations that were expanding. And, you know, of course, I'm very picky. And if I wasn't happy with samples, I just didn't want it. And I wanted to start over. So it's a very, very long, tedious
process.
Yeah. But now I'm very, very proud to say that things are actually moving forward with a specific, you know, collection that I'm doing. And so we are hoping that, you know, 2022 will be the year that everyone can finally be introduced to the thing that I have been working on.
Oh my gosh. So exciting. I'm so excited for you. We've been talking about this forever now.
It's been
crazy. And it's crazy to me that you haven't yet, because you and I started the beauty... the teaching industry for, you know, since like 2013, I think, and you naturally evolve into creating products because you know product development so well by then. Like, you've worked with every product because of your customers. You have, your favorites. You know what you like.
We have different people that we've worked on, so we know what works for the general public.
Exactly.
Too.
Not just what works for me, but what works for everyone. So I'm looking forward to it because I know whatever that you do create is going to be phenomenal It took you 5 years to move forward with it.
Thank you.
With, you know, social media, we've come such a long way. You, to me, represent someone who's very honest and very straightforward on social media. And I think that your following respects you for that and is loyal due to that. Do you also feel like there's a downfall there?
I mean, of course, like the more you put out and the more honest you are, the more people may not agree with it. Because, of course, like we all have our own truths and we all have our own lived experiences. So what my lived experiences, my upbringing, my whole outlook on life, whether it's about, you know, living life with my family and the way I am religiously or not, and, you know, even my thought process when I'm creating looks or doing things outside of, you know, my personal life, people may or may not always agree with that. And I just have to stay completely 100% authentic, true to myself and what I believe in and what I love. But what sucks is now it's like we have to put a disclaimer. We literally, like, I can share my life and be like, this may not work for everyone. I get that. Or like, you know, if I have a specific tip, you know, everyone's asking me, what's your biggest advice for sleep training? What's your biggest advice for this? Because these are things that worked for me, but it's not going to always look, you know, look the same in every family. It's not going to always work the same for every family. So it's like constantly putting out disclaimers, which sucks. I hate having to do that, but I understand why I have to do that. So, you know, there's certain things that people are going to be very offended by, and they're very vocal about it. We were talking about it. Social media has, you know, especially since COVID started, it's kind of brought out the worst in a lot of people, and we as influencers have seen a lot of that. You know, we get it in person and we get it on social media, so it's like double the blows, and it really is a damper to our, you know, mood and our happiness day to day. So we kind of had to figure out a way to block that out, and honestly, you know, I was pregnant throughout COVID last year, I got pregnant right before COVID hit, a couple of months before. And so I used my pregnancy as an excuse to just have the I don't give a bleep attitude, and I was able to get away with it because I'm pregnant. You can't hate me. You can't hate me for, you know, saying my truth.
No, but I appreciate it, because to me, you come out as one of those, because, you know, I have a lot of influencer friends, and you know, even me, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to say this out loud. You know, I don't want to say it out loud because I don't want to deal with it. But you're like, I'm going to say it out loud.
I just
did
not care.
This is how I feel about it. But I think I respect you so much for that, because you stand your ground, and that, to me, that comes off like you're very strong. You know, you're very strong in who you are. You're very strong in life, and that this is how you've moved forward. So to me, it seems like your strength and your creativity got you where you are, besides the fact that you took every opportunity that came your way.
Right. You have to recognize the opportunities and see which ones are going to align with what you want to do. And sometimes you make some mistakes along the way, and it's okay, because we're human. And I think one of the reasons why I share so much on social, even, you know, with my private life, not so private, is because we are all so multifaceted, right? Like, as influencers, we have so much going on, and every single person watching has so much going on. They're all also doing the same thing. Maybe they're not putting it all out there as influencers, but they're still doing the same thing. And so being able to connect on such a deep level has people understand. And, you know, me with the I don't give a F attitude on so many things, I feel like I've empowered a lot of women to start sticking up for themselves. You know, if the family is like, you need to not hold them so much, or you need to hold them more, or you need to do this, or you need to do that.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
I'm the mother. God chose me to carry this baby and to birth this baby and to raise this baby. So thanks, but I'm good. And it's okay to put boundaries out there. And for us as influencers, people say there are no boundaries. You're putting it out there, so it comes with the territory. No, no, no. I can still put out a boundary. And guess what? It's called a block button. If you want to cross that boundary, bye, honey. I have so many other people that appreciate. And it's okay for me to be that way. If someone thinks that I'm being rude because I'm finally being real, you know, totally real, then fine. Maybe we wouldn't be friends in real life too. You know, it's okay. I can't force everyone.
But I think majority appreciate that more than the fabricated social media life that nobody really can live up to. Mm-hmm. You know, and so.
And I feel like a lot of us were like that, and I was like that before. Like, I didn't fabricate anything. It was still what I
was filtered
doing. But I was filtering myself because there was so much I wanted to say. Maybe not a happy thing, but I would have to stop myself. Like, I would get the hate and I couldn't clap back because I would be attacked.
You'd be the bad guy.
Yeah. I couldn't state my opinion because I would be the bad guy. But now it's like, no, I've been silent long enough. I'm a mother of two now. You're a mother of three. Mm-hmm. And we've come to the point where it's just not worth it for us to hold back and absorb so many feelings that can eventually hurt us and stress us out and then impact our own real lives. I'm just going to say it how it is, and I'm going to let go of a lot of that burden because it's just not worth it anymore.
Good for you. I love that. You're inspiring.
New life, new life, new TM.
I love it. So I guess to round up, we could talk forever, but I know you have a child to get back to. We're actually recording in my house, and I had her bring her beautiful daughter over so they can actually hang out.
Meeting, yeah, and it's the first time I've left my son. So my husband's
Oh my goodness. So
like,
you got to go.
He's going to freak out.
I guess just one last question for you. What advice do you have? What is your secret sauce for success? What would you say is the most important thing if you're an entrepreneur or want to be an entrepreneur in order to grow and actually make money? Because we want to follow our passion, but we also want to become successful. Yeah. So what did you take from your life? What do you think made you who you are? Besides your strength and your opportunity, which is what I took from you.
Oh, thank you. I would say my biggest advice is to understand that it really does take a whole lot more than what people show. Even the influencers that show, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to do. There's so much more to it. Mm-hmm. So understand that you literally have to put your whole heart and soul and your whole life into the thing that you want to become or do or start, you know? And the other part of it is you can't be lazy. You can have the best idea ever and you can have the drive to do it. But when it comes to actually taking those first few steps, there's a lot of voices in your head that's going to say, oh, you can't do that. No one else has done it. You can't do it. Or maybe the voices that are saying, well, you don't even know how to do it. How are you going to do it? Sometimes you have to just take that jump and learn along the way and figure it out in order for you to actually do it, because you're never going to know all of it enough to actually get started. Just like having a baby, you're never going to be 100% ready to have a baby. You're just going to have to do it and figure it out once it happens, because sooner or later the opportunity is going to be passed. You're going to miss it and you're going to regret it. So biggest advice, and that's what finally got me with the whole the line that I'm working on, I was so scared that it wasn't going to be absolutely perfect. And I did not want to do something that wasn't absolutely perfect, that I forgot along the way that this whole thing is a journey. You don't just jump to your destination. There's a whole journey behind it. You just have to get started.
Yeah.
So get started. That's my biggest thing.
And I love that.
The money
Don't be lazy. It's what I always say. And you just hit the nail.
And have people on your side. Have your support system that can also balance your thoughts too. Obviously, we can't always just follow our heart. We have to be smart with it. We have to know what makes money. So surround yourself with people who have been there, done that, that understand the business. Get on social media. Network with people. Learn from them. Listen to podcasts. Go on Clubhouse. Listen in on rooms. And absorb as much as you can. So that whatever you can prepare yourself with, but take the jump.
Amen. Yes. I love that. Yay, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for taking time away from your child and your husband. And I'm sorry, Michelle. Hopefully the baby's doing okay. We love you. You're very inspirational, and we wish you nothing but the absolute best in the future. We cannot wait for your line to come out, and all the collaborations and all the, I want to always not be able to keep up with you. Because I know you're going to continue to do so much. So we're here to support you. And if you guys are not following her, make sure you're following her at Dress Your Face. It'll be in the caption, and we hope to see you when your line launches.
Yes,
we'll have this conversation again. All right. Love you. Thank you.